recipes to shop, not me. That's why I shop U.S. Foods Market Store. You might remember them as Sunday Dinner Direct. There are no membership fees, and it's open to the public. They're easy to shop with because they're super friendly, conveniently located in the middle of town, and parking is a breeze. Best of all, when I shop at U.S. Foods Market Store, I save money for my family. That's important to me.
U.S. Foods Market Store, formerly Sunday Dinner Direct, located at 5455 Atlanta Highway. Open Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. U.S. Foods Market Store. We help you make it.
Independent Glass has been your one-stop shop for all things glass since 1978. They offer a full range of architectural products, and they're armed with the knowledge and expertise to get even the most demanding job done, big or small. Attention to detail, 24-hour replacement services, and their uncompromising commitment to excellence is why Montgomery's first choice for all things glass is Independent Glass. Call them today at 263-2823 and learn more about what they can do for you at independentglassco.com.
Jones Brothers is so much more than roofs. Improving the look and energy efficiency of your home is easier than you think. New windows from Jones Brothers are not only beautiful, but can save you real money. Vinyl siding is a great way to update the look of your home and save on your energy bills. With Cedar Ridge composite siding from Jones Brothers, your home will be four times more insulated than with ordinary siding. Call Jones Brothers today for a free estimate. Call Jones Brothers. You'll be glad you did.
Let's face it, we all get on the tight sometimes financially. A bill is due and there's too much month at the end of the money. Get the cash loan you need now without any loan applications at High Caliber Gun and Pawn in Prattville. Pawn your jewelry, electronics, tools, or equipment. Even sell your scrap gold to help you bridge between paydays. High Caliber Gun and Pawn can help you make it with a loan till payday. Looking to buy a handgun, hunting rifle, or shotgun? High Caliber Gun and Pawn has a huge selection with prices better than those at gun shows. They offer in-house and factory warranties are included on all firearms. And that don't mean just 7 days. Check out their huge selection of World War I, World War II, Vietnam, and U.S. military history items for sale. Active military, get your first transfer for free. So whether you're short on cash till payday and need a loan, or you're a gun enthusiast looking to buy a firearm, or just curious as to what they have to offer, head to High Caliber Gun and Pawn in Prattville today, just across from Prattville Farm Center. Get the cash or guns you need at High Caliber Gun and Pawn in Prattville.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable, and serving part-time can help you graduate debt-free. Do you want to stay close to friends and family? The Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving part-time in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want. Learn more by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Alabama Army National Guard. Aired by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
This is Sarah.
Hi, I'm Sarah.
Sarah was looking for a job, but wanted to stay local.
That's right.
First, she built a giant satellite. Then launched it into space. To send a signal transmitting her resume. This did not lend Sarah a job, but it did start a war with the Zarkon Nebula.
I went too far.
Yes, Sarah went too far. But you don't have to go too far to go far. Montgomery area helpwanted.com only posts local jobs, so employers are way more likely to respond to your application and offer you a job. Montgomery area helpwanted.com. Local jobs that work.
With as much waste as your business generates, it's important to know where it's all going to go. With Alabama Dumpster Service, it goes right into that familiar red dumpster or roll-off container, delivered straight to you. As we celebrate our 20th year, our customers know they can count on friendly customer service and reliable, competitive pricing. With Alabama Dumpster Service, the rate you agreed to is always the rate you'll pay. Call today at 334-288-1500 or learn more at alabamadumpster.com.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. We are enjoying a dry weekend, and that's certainly good news. And temperatures are going to start to moderate, but we're in for another chilly one tonight. I think we'll drop close to the freeze mark by dawn. Tomorrow, dry with a high temperature in the lower 60s. Not a bad day. Then a chance of rain returning late Sunday night after midnight. Then showers likely on Monday again. More rain with Monday's high and Tuesday's high well into the 60s. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
The views and opinions expressed on Clearing the Air are solely those of Terry Adams and other contributors. These views and opinions do not necessarily represent those of Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, its staff, or any advertisers.
Are you strapped for cash but need a car right now? No problem.
We can't have that. Welcome back to Clearing the Air. I'm your host, Terry Adams.
See what I mean?
Yeah, it's always something, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
That's me and my clumsiness. Man, I'm getting where I can't do anything right anymore. Oh, man. Scary stuff. But go ahead, Postman. We were the threshing floor.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Yes. Last time, folks, you know, when we met, we were talking about threshing floor. And you know, I gave you a physical meaning of threshing floor, you know, what it actually meant. And I gave you some locations of some threshing floors, you know, throughout the Middle East. And the ones that I actually wanted to talk about was the one that's on top of Mount Moriah. And tonight, you know, that's the one I actually want to talk about, you know, because Abraham was he was actually the founding father of the actual Hebrew race. And with him, the way he came from, you know, it was kind of weird, you know, that he was chosen, you know, by a prime creator to set him apart. He was chosen to be set apart, you know, from the rest of the actual world, because he wanted to set apart a people, you know, unto himself, and bring in his son, you know, so that he could save the human race. And with that said, let's get started on this.
Do it.
All right. To give you a little background on Abraham, Abraham was born in an area, you know, where there were actually heathens there. He was actually born to his father Terah, which is a descendant of Noah's son Shem, and he was actually born in Ur of the Chaldean in the Chaldean region of Mesopotamia. And Abraham had a brother. His name was Haran, and after Abraham, you know, after he was born, he was scrutinized, you know, by the ruler of that era, you know, which was Nimrod. He was supposed to have gotten executed, but he didn't. According to a story that I read, his father Terah sent him to his grandfather, four times removed from him. Believe it or not, he was still living, which was Noah. Noah was still living at the time, and that was amazing to me to actually find that out. Mm-hmm. And that's why he went as a child, and he was taught by Noah. And after he left Noah, Noah died shortly after that. Wow. And from there, Abraham came back to where his father was ruling at in Ur, and he goes through this disagreement with his father, you know, about who he was worshiping. And so, I mean, most of you have heard the story about him, you know, and the way he exposed his father and his idol worship. Okay, to make a long story short, Abraham was set apart by God to actually come out from his ancestors, and started out. He sent him on a journey, and it's a lesson. It was a lesson that Abraham had to go through before he could actually be the chosen one to bring forth the Savior. First of all, Abraham started out on his journey to a place called Shechem, and that's in the Holy Land. It's right in the center of the Holy Land, and this is where he erects his first altar. The altar was erected between Shechem and Mount Moriah, and this altar was called the altar of hope. And it's kind of funny, you know, the way the Bible and the Torah talks about it. It talks about him passing a turpentine tree. I mean, I'm trying to figure out what's a turpentine tree got to do with this. I actually didn't find out what it was, but it was interesting to actually find that out, that they wanted to mention a turpentine tree. Yeah. And all these sites, if you notice, there's a type of tree that's there.
Why is that?
It's kind of weird the way that works.
Is it symbolic or?
Evidently, it is.
Yeah.
And it goes on like for instance. At another site.
Yeah.
There was an oak tree at a certain site. You know where threshing floor was.
Right.
And there was a staghorn tree.
Staghorn.
Yes, there was a staghorn tree around a threshing floor. Actually, it encircled a threshing floor. That was the one that Abel Mizraim.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to move on, the second site where God sent Abraham on his journey to build an altar was Bethel. This one was called the altar of prayer. The next place he sent him to Hebron. And this one was an altar of communion.
Hebron.
Yes. And if I were to go through all these and tell the significance of all of them, it'd take up most of the time.
Sure.
But and the next place he sent him to was Moriah, which is the actual site that I want to talk about.
Okay.
And Moriah is considered the altar of sacrifice.
Mm.
Okay. Now, it had been hundreds of years, but to tell you the truth, it had been somewhere between 1200 to 1500 years, from the time that Abraham was born and did all this, that David came along and purchased the threshing floor for 50 shekels from the king of Arnon.
Okay.
And this at the time, Mount Moriah was a flat surface, but most all the threshing floors are circular in nature. Now, you're gonna have to bear with me on this, because I've got to try to give you a picture of how things look. And then at the end of the other two segments that I'm going to do on these threshing floors, I'll take it and sum it up, and then tell you the mystery of these threshing floors. Did you cut me off?
No, I cut me off.
Oh, okay.
I didn't want people to hear me clicking. Go ahead. You got another minute.
Okay. All right. But anyway, Moriah is the most. It's the most special of these sites, and in the fact that Moriah is a complex, and as I told you last weekend, Moriah has actually two important parts to it. It's the temple site, and it has the actual top part of it, which is 770 meters above the actual site. And that was the site where our Savior was crucified at, on the top of at Skull Hill. And I never knew the topography was like that until I actually did the research on it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of weird and it's kind of strange that God wanted to actually take Abraham. And take him through what seemed to be a lot of changes, but all of this was for Abraham, mm-hmm. to actually try to get him to know that God was God, and that he was the one that was chosen, to actually his seed was the one that was chosen to bring forth the Savior. So he could save mankind.
Wow. Wow. All right, you want to hit this break?
Yes. Uh-huh.
All right, we're going to hit this break and come back and finish this. We'll be right back.
Saving usually means lowering your expectations, settling for less. But no one ever got less and thought, good for me. Now you can save on all your favorite stuff without giving anything up. Surf, swipe, and stream as much as you want with WOW Internet for only $34.99 a month. With our 2-year price lock guarantee, these are savings you can count on. And when you sign up today at wowway.com, get a $100 Visa prepaid reward card.
Wow.
Offer for new customers with a 2-year agreement. Auto pay and paperless billing. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra subject to change. Restrictions apply.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. I'm a better neighbor because my service has taught me how important it is to be a team player. My training helps me in my classes when I give attention to detail to the task at hand. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threat. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed. Also, the Army National Guard's education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Alabama Army National Guard. Aired by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
Independent Glass has been your one-stop shop for all things glass since 1978. They offer a full range of architectural products, and they're armed with the knowledge and expertise to get even the most demanding job done, big or small. Attention to detail, 24-hour replacement services, and their uncompromising commitment to excellence is why Montgomery's first choice for all things glass is Independent Glass. Call them today at 263-2823 and learn more about what they can do for you at independentglassco.com.
While you may be making sure your pet has everything they need, the River Region Humane Societies need your help too. Blue Water Broadcasting and the Depot Furniture Gallery are doing something about it. Help stuff our Sprinter van full of badly needed shelter supplies. Bring your donations to the Depot Furniture Gallery located inside Prattville Pickers. The Depot Furniture Gallery has the best selection of rustic furniture in the River Region. It's our annual Paw It Forward Pet Drive. Donate what you can from Blue Water Broadcasting and the Depot Furniture Gallery.
To find out how you can help, visit newstalk931.com.
Hi, this is Carl Schmidt, naturopath and owner of The Herb Shop. Listen every Saturday to Winning Wellness and learn from experts in different fields of science and technology how nutritional supplements can help you.
Listen to Winning Wellness at its new time every Saturday at 10 a.m.
Hey, welcome back to Clearing the Air. Postman, you want to go ahead?
Yes. For now, we're actually going to shift gears here and to actually try to condense some of this information in, because it's actually a lot of information and a lot of threshing floors, a lot of important threshing floors, you know, that are in the Bible. Okay. Right now we're going to shift gears, and we're going to go to the story of Ruth and Boaz, because that happened at a threshing floor also, and I had a little short video if Terry could actually play it.
I will certainly try. Let's see if this thing's going.
It's actually pretty interesting, you know, because this one is actually delicate, and I don't want to say the wrong thing.
These two stories, we are going to start with the story of Lot and his daughters. Let's jump into that. The story of Lot and his daughters is really the tail end of the story of the destruction of Sodom. God sees that Sodom is very evil, and he decides to destroy it. But here's the interesting thing, question number one. We hear chapters earlier that Sodom is very, very bad, but God doesn't destroy it then. What precipitates the destruction of Sodom at the particular time it is in fact destroyed? Question number two. Right before the destruction of Sodom, angels are sent to the city. Why are the angels sent there? One possibility is they're sent to destroy Sodom, but that seems kind of strange because actually the angels aren't in Sodom when it's destroyed. They're outside of Sodom, so they apparently have sort of remote control detonation abilities, so they don't really need to be in Sodom to destroy it. So what's the other possibility of why they might be sent to Sodom? Well, we know what happens in Sodom. They get into Sodom and they end up saving Lot. But the problem is, if I was an angel and I was sent to save Lot, first thing I'd do is I'd go to Lot's door, I'd flash my angel FBI pass, and I'd take off my sunglass and I'd say, "Sir, come right this way. We don't have a moment to lose." I'd whisk you onto my waiting camels and off we would go. But that's not actually what happens. They hang around in Sodom for a while, Lot finds them, invites them in, They go and they have this big feast in Lot's house. They seem to have all the time in the world. And then all of a sudden, there's this mob that convenes by the door demanding that the guests be thrown out to the mob. And it's at that moment that finally the guests say, quick, you don't have a moment to lose, let's get out of here. What's that about? What really is their mission in Stone? Neither of the obvious theories seem to fit so easily. So allow me to suggest a theory here for your consideration. The larger story may just be about kindness, genuine kindness, and imitated kindness, a kind of broken kindness. Let me explain what I mean. When is it that God decides to destroy Stone? It happens immediately after the most extended kindness narrative in the Torah, the story of Abraham immediately after his own circumcision at an advanced age when he would have been in great pain, and he goes and he sees these angels, he invites them in and he asks them to wash their feet and he provides this big feast for them. He really puts himself out for them. And at the end of that story, Abraham is rewarded with news that there will be a miraculous child for him and Sarah, despite his advanced years. And as he bids the angels farewell, Vayashkifu al pnei Sodom, they gaze out towards Sodom. And it's right then that God sort of comes out of the clouds and says, you know, I think I'm going to have to destroy Sodom. Why all of a sudden? And why, for that matter, consult Abraham about the destruction? Abraham goes on this long bargaining session with God. You know, if there's 50 people, would you spare them? Take them down to 45, then 40, all the way down to 10. It's like God says, all right, just let me know when you're done, whatever you say. You decide. Where does Abraham get this power to bargain with God and to sort of be influential as to whether or not Sodom is going to survive or not? So here's a theory for you. Perhaps Abraham becomes the unwitting prosecutor of Sodom. You see, Sodom was committed to an anti-chesed, anti-kindness perspective. It was a matter of public policy. Sodom is described as one of the most fertile areas in an otherwise barren wasteland of a desert. How did they keep it all to themselves? The Medrash, quoted by Ramban, says, by instituting a policy of making sure that any guest that comes was raped and robbed, as the Medrash says. You see it in the demographic makeup of the mob that makes its way to Lot's door. When Lot takes in guests, the mob is old people and young people from all economic strata of society. They all come for this town hall protest on Lot's lawn. You have violated the social contract of the city by inviting guests in. All upstanding citizens of Sodom are rightfully enraged and are just exercising their civil duty to protest this terrible crime. So if Sodom is committed to anti-kindness, then when Abraham rises to the greatest heights of chesed that you can imagine, despite his pain opening his doors to take care of guests, that indicts Sodom. What room is there left in the world for a place like Sodom? And that, I think, helps to explain the otherwise strange bargaining sessions. You know, if Abraham is the unwitting prosecutor here, he gets to decide. God says, I better consult Abraham. And whatever Abraham says goes. You say 20, fine, it'll be 20. And finally, Abraham stops at 10, and that's the number. So why, then, do the angels enter Sodom? What are they doing there? It seems to have something to do with Lot. The answer may well be, they're there to see if Lot is worthy of being saved. You see, Lot was Abraham's nephew. He grew up in the house of Abraham, but now he's assimilated into the people of Sodom. So is he one of them or not? When Lot sees the angels in Sodom, his kindness is tested. So he comes and he invites them into this great feast, similar to the way that Abraham entertained the angels with a feast. It was a moment in which Lot was called upon to turn his back on the values of the surrounding society and to tell the mob, Al na achai tareyu, don't do this evil thing. But there's only one tragic part of this incident. In the middle of this great triumph of Lot is his greatest moment of downfall too. He tells the mob, don't take my guests, but here are my daughters. Now, by all indications, the mob weren't interested in the daughters. They continued to press forward to try and get at the guests. But what was Lot thinking? What was he doing? What a callous, awful act that mars the whatever kindness he gives to his guests. What's the consequences of that act? The sages say something very strange in the Medrash. They say that when Lot threw his daughters out to the mob, God swore and said, "You're saving them for yourself, aren't you?" And so it was. Because at the end of the story, Lot actually commits incest with these daughters. They think it's an act of Yibum for the world, but Lot knows better and allows himself, without knowing but kind of knowing, to be seduced. Now, it's a strange thing the sages say, because if he was really saving them for himself, then why would he throw them out to the mob? He would save them for himself. What does that even mean? But perhaps the sages are telling us something very deep here about the nature of kindness. A truly kind person is kind to their wife, to their children, and then more extended relatives, and to their neighbors, and townsfolk, and their nation, and ultimately the world. Their natural concentric circles and kindness radiates outward. Lot provided a feast for the angels, as did Abraham, but there was something broken in his kindness, because at the same moment that he is providing this feast for the angels, that he is defending them, that he is placing his back to the door, he takes his own daughters and casts them out to the mob. Where was the kindness for them? For the closest members of his family, there was no kindness. Only for the outside circles, but not for the inside circles. Lot's kindness was imitated kindness. He was imitating Abraham. It didn't radiate from the inside. It was a broken kind of kindness. And so what was the legacy of that broken kindness? The legacy was Moab, the child of Lot and his daughters. You see, it doesn't seem coincidental that those daughters, at the very end of the story, they end up in this strange, incestuous relationship with their father. It was a second violation of those daughters. Not only did he throw them out to the mob, he himself violated them. And what is incest, really, other than a twisted kind of love? It takes the act of love and turns it into something selfish. And that leads straight to Moab. Moab means Me'av, from father. It's like naming the child after the act of incest itself. Come here, little incest. What an awful thing to name a child. But that's the tragedy of incest. Whatever relationship you have with your own parents, even if it's twisted, terrible one, it's your parents, and it seems normal because this is what your parents are doing. So what's the legacy of this twisted relationship? What's the legacy of this child of broken kindness? Moab actually, historically, takes kindness and turns it on its head. Why is it that the nation of Israel is bidden later on in its history not to marry into Moab? In the words of Devarim, "Al Devar Asher Lo Kidbu Etchem B'Lechem U'Mayim," it's because they didn't come out and offer bread and water to you as you left Egypt. They failed to perform chesed. They wouldn't do it, almost on principle. That's the rationale given by the book of Deuteronomy. Why might the children of Moab not have been so big on kindness? If you were a daughter of Lot and had memories of being thrown out of the door in the middle of the night while your father kept a feast going to provide chesed to his guests, how interested would you be in chesed when you grew up? Would you have 13 guests around your Shabbat table? No, your memories of chesed would have been bitter. There was chesed for everyone but you. You would have turned against that. Kindness has an awful smell to it. It's revolting to you. And isn't it interesting that the other time we meet Moab is in the aftermath of the Bilam story, when of all things the daughters of Moab mingled with the children of Israel promiscuously. They seduced them to bring Israel to worship foreign gods. It's like this crazy topsy-turvy inversion of things. Because when you really think of it, there are two kinds of love, two kinds of kindness in the world. There's public love, and there's private love. Public love is the kind of love that you show everyone. Kindness, chesed, you invite guests into your house. That's the kind of love which is non-exclusive, which is open to the world. But there is a private kind of love, an intimate kind of love, exclusive between a man and a woman. Now, keep these two kinds of love in mind and look at Moab. Moab took public love and made it private, and took private love and made it public. It's the twisted legacy of broken kindness. The legacy of being thrown out on the street by your own father, but having your father also be the sort of kind of accomplice in a selfish kind of intimacy, which from his perspective was nothing but incestuous. We've talked a lot now about the story of Lot and his daughters. It seems relevant to the Book of Ruth because it's the first example of a seduction story that seems to involve a Yibum-like event. But that's not the only reason it's connected to the Ruth story. Ruth is one of the daughters of the nation of Moab. What was the story of Lot and his daughters really all about? It was about the birth of this nation, Ruth's nation, the nation of Moab. Ruth was not acting in a vacuum. There was a context for how she was acting, and the context was Moab. Lot and his daughters, this was the legacy of her ancestors. Moab was the nation of broken kindness. So before this series is done, we will come back to look at the Book of Ruth in light of the story of Lot and his daughters to see how the Lot story provides context, influences the development of the Ruth story. But before we do, we need to come back and look at that other digression we were speaking about in Genesis, the other seduction story involving a Yibum-like act, the story of Yehuda and Tamar. Let's come back and do that in our next video.
Grab a pen and paper, because in just a second, I'm going to give you a very important phone number. Now, while you're getting your stuff together, let me tell you about my friend David Ernest. David's an asset preservationist, and you might not know what that means. David is the guy that's going to help you keep your money. That's right, you've been saving for retirement, and it'll be here before you know it. And the stock market can go up, and it can go down. But down is a word that is not in David's vocabulary. I checked with him, and it's just not in there. Neither is the word flabbergasted, but that's a different story altogether. You need to call David Ernest today, 279-7431. Call David Ernest, set up an appointment. There's no obligation, won't cost you a dime, 279-7431. Call David Ernest today. And if the word flabbergasted comes up in the conversation, well, my bad.
Central Alabama weather is unlike any other. That's why you need Jones Brothers. Central Alabama has trusted Jones Brothers for over 70 years for all roofing needs. Whether the weather left you with a single repair or it's time for a new roof, Jones Brothers will make sure the work is done right and you have a roof you'll love for years to come. Wanting to change your existing shingle roof to a beautiful, durable metal roof? Jones Brothers can do it. Call today for a free estimate and visit jbroof.com. Call Jones Brothers. You'll be glad you did.
Hey, this is David from Mr. Sandman Mattress, and I know February has President's Day and Valentine's Day and probably some other great reasons to have a sale, but it's also my anniversary month, so we're having our month-long anniversary sale. No, not my store's anniversary. More important, my wedding anniversary, 45 years. To celebrate this amazing occasion, Mr. Sandman is discounting hundreds of beds and mattresses, Serta's, Beauty Vest, Jameson, Diamond, and others must be liquidated to make room for new models. Fresh stock and floor samples are available at tremendous discounts off our regular sale prices. Wood and iron beds are on sale, many are well below original wholesale prices. We have a large inventory of adjustable bases on sale and in stock. Please visit us on the Atlanta Highway, Mr. Sandman Mattress Superstores. Another big deal, the Lehigh's Class of 70 is having their 50th reunion in May. Check with us on Facebook or call me at Mr. Sandman if you have not been contacted or if you know someone we need to contact. I know you'll regret it if you miss it.
Hey, everybody, this is Dr. Sam, and you know, for years, close to 40 years now, Woodham's Southside Firestone has been servicing my car. It doesn't matter what happens to them, Woodham's Southside Firestone just does it right the first time. Whether it's tires, they have a great selection of Firestone tires and all kind of tires, all brand names. Whether it's an oil change, check the fluids, the wiper blades, anything from the bottom of the tires to the top of the roof, Woodham Southside Firestone has you covered, and I can't think of a better place to go in 2020 than at Woodham Southside Firestone. By the way, they're going to be giving their employees off on Saturdays, so they'll be closed on Saturdays. But you know what? They need time with their families, too. Woodham Southside Firestone. They're located 1/2 mile south of the Southern Bypass on the Troy Highway. Woodham Southside Firestone. You can count on them every time. Woodham Southside Firestone. Use them today. You'll be glad you did.
The biggest threat to law enforcement isn't criminals. It's drivers who fail to move over. If you see flashing lights on the roadside, safely move over. Drive safe, Alabama. Sponsored by ALDOT, ALEA, the Alabama Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Rich Thomas Weather, brought to you by H&H Carpet. For all floor covering and granite products, see H&H Carpets for the guaranteed best price. H&H Carpets, across from Walmart on the Atlanta Highway.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. We are enjoying a dry weekend, and that's certainly good news. And temperatures are going to start to moderate, but we're in for another chilly one tonight. I think we'll drop close to the freeze mark by dawn. Tomorrow, dry with a high temperature in the lower 60s. Not a bad day. Then a chance of rain returning late Sunday night after midnight. Then showers likely on Monday again. More rain with Monday's high and Tuesday's high well into the 60s. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Buying or building a new home comes with many difficult decisions. The mortgage process shouldn't be one of them. Let CBNS Bank's experienced mortgage lenders make the process easy. Visit a CBNS Bank office or CBSBank.com. All loans subject to credit approval. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
And welcome back to the program, Postman.
I told you it was delicate, folks. And it was. I mean, I listened to that video today, and I said, wait a minute. I've got to show this as a precursor to the story of Ruth and Boaz, because it actually pertains to Ruth bloodline, you know, and the evil and ancestral thing, you know, that happened in a cave. It turned into an actual loving relationship, one that was the bloodline that was sent in motion, you know, as progenitors, you know, to the Savior, and that actually happened on a threshing floor, folks, you know, the story of Ruth and Boaz, but the actual, you know, the Bible's not clear on what actually happened on the threshing floor that night. But there are some innuendos that something might have took place, but Boaz being a righteous man, you know, as he was, and Ruth seemed like well, for lack of a better term, seemed like she was hot to trot, but she was actually driven. She was actually driven to do what she was supposed to do, you know, because what happened in her bloodline in the past got redeemed on a threshing floor. Go ahead, Terry.
Oh, cool. Well, ready to bring on Frank?
Yes.
Hey, Frank.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How
hey.
You doing, buddy?
Hey, good. Hey, I got a couple things to cover to tie in what you're talking about tonight, but Postman brought up one of my favorite subjects, and that's treats, okay, in the Bible. Do you know that there's a tree on the first page of Genesis. It's in the first Psalm, the first page of the New Testament, the last page of the book of Revelation. And whether it was the fall, the flood, the overthrow of the pharaohs, every major event in the Bible has a tree marking the spot.
Why is that?
Yeah, it does.
Well, trees are the oldest living things on earth. There are trees alive today that we already know that were alive before Jesus. Okay?
Wow, okay.
And that's why God marks trees with rings around their trunks. Okay, mm-hmm. But I really believe God is always trying to teach humans to think long term. Okay,
I hope so.
And trees can live as long as 10,000 years. But I just wanted to throw that in. That's not really the reason, that I called tonight. But it's an interesting subject.
Yeah, it is.
Vaccinations and the mark of the beast. Yes, related, but there's more to it. But the first thing I wanted to talk about, Terry,
mm-hmm.
is the images that you've been putting out. And I don't know how many people look at them.
Not many.
But it's time to talk about them a little bit, because the eyes of these images, I seen in the first experience I had, and then in the second experience, several times in the second experience, They're the exact same eyes.
Yep.
They're evil.
Yeah, they are.
They're pure, pure evil, and they're here right now. And let me share with you some of the stuff that I've found.
Okay.
What's happening right now, just in, we're not even all the way through February 1st, already in 2020.
Right.
Already this year, there's armies of locusts. You talked about this last week.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
They have taken and devoured entire farms in Africa in as little as 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And they've also now, they're also in several parts of the Middle East, and now they've reached the border of China. And China, keep China underlined, okay?
Okay.
There's a giant swarm of locusts that had destroyed the entire food supplies, basically, of Kenya, Somalia, and Ethiopia.
The ones that could least afford it.
Yes. Extremely bizarre weather pattern. Are you guys aware that on 220... just a couple, about a week ago, there was a 209-mile-per-hour gust of wind that hit mountains in California.
No, I didn't know that.
Google it. 209-mile-an-hour gust of wind in Sydney, Australia. We all know all the fires that happened there.
Right.
And now they've been devastated with up to 16 inches of rain in one day, all kinds of flooding.
Jeez.
And we know, as we live here in Alabama, unprecedented flooding has hit several parts of the South.
Yes.
I mean, it's to the point of, it's not historic or unprecedented, but it's getting very, very close.
Yeah, it is. It's scary.
It's going to.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny as you're talking about that, Frank, because I mentioned earlier in the program, you know, about those celestial objects, you know, I see on those cameras. And like I said, 5 to 8 years ago, I mean, they were the size of a golf ball. But now they're covering a quarter of the camera screen. And we can't see it from here because the chemtrails are so thick, and they're kind of at an oblique angle, you know, because they're coming in, you know, from the from the actual top because they're fixing to head back. Head back down,
right.
You know, in the lower negative regions of our galaxy.
Well, that brings me to the next two subjects. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, but all this has something to do with the actual weather, and some of the same symptoms were going on, you know, during the Passover, you know, some 3,500 years ago.
Next, earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we all know that the earthquakes are. I mean, we've had a 7.7 recently in Jamaica.
Wow!
And we know what happened. We know what happened in Oregon.
Right.
But earthquakes. I mean, earthquakes are increasing. Watch the news in the next 30 days. Okay. Unusual volcanic eruptions all over the world right now in the last 2 to 3 months. The coronavirus. Needless to say, you talked about that death, but I've got some very interesting facts on that, Gary, that I'm going to share here in a minute. But
Good. The
coronavirus has now spread to Japan, Singapore, South Korea, and from what I've read today, North Korea is getting hit very, very hard.
Okay? Yeah.
It's in Thailand, and Vietnam. But this is what's really interesting. The African swine flu, pig Ebola, has already wiped out more than millions upon millions of pigs in China and 40 other countries. China has been hit extremely hard.
Wow.
The H1N1 swine flu, unlike the African swine flu, it's hitting, it's already killed more people outside of China than the coronavirus. Okay?
Yeah.
But you don't hear a whole bunch about it right now.
Imagine that.
Yeah. It was called the H5N1 bird flu, and China has had to kill thousands of their chickens to the point where their chicken harvest crops almost completely gone.
Wow.
And then the last one was called the H5N8 bird flu, and this strain is different than the first one, and I guess Germany got hit very, very hard with that. But next, RNA. And Terry, I went back and read, and it's been almost 3 years ago, But yeah. That email you sent me about RNA?
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes, I do.
It has been disclosed that the coronavirus genomic, G-N-O-M-E, is made of RNA, not DNA. and all vaccines are to empower it by design. Okay?
Imagine that. Yeah.
And they are creating, they're rapidly creating a vaccination for coronavirus.
Of course.
But the last thing anybody should do is take it. Now, and why? What's the difference between RNA and DNA, and why does it matter? You need to take a break.
No, go ahead.
Okay.
This is
DNA, why does it matter? All right?
Okay.
Genome. Genome is a noun. And to understand it, it's the ordering of genes in a haploid set of chromosomes set up in a particular organism.
Yeah,
okay?
The genome.
In other words, genome. It really controls it. And every human is infused what's called a double helix DNA molecule containing the chemical alphabet A, C, T, and G, just to be scientific for just a second, okay?
Right.
In different combinations, this set of building blocks provide the fuel to create, change, grow, and reproduce. And DNA is also called spiritual technology. As we know, it transforms dust into life.
Right.
RNA is an invisible bond glue, which empowers DNA to upload its genetic code and form tangible matter, ultimately manifesting as a biology of the third dimension of the first heaven.
Wow.
95% of the remaining DNA is invisible, hyperdimensional shifting. So DNA is a powerful, and I'll get to why in just a second.
Mm-hmm.
But the replication of DNA, we all know when the first one came with the fallen angels.
Right.
And now the transhumanism, it is attempting to create an external, uniquely original what's called helix, H-E-L-X.
Yeah,
a DNA genome.
Yeah, helical.
Yes. Like code strand like Adam and Eve had.
Oh, wow.
Engaging in bestiality, the Nephilim produced multiple varieties of chimeras and monsters, and we know that they made it with humans and with animals.
And I believe that explains the dinosaurs, personally.
Exactly.
And you know what?
And dragons.
And you know what? And not to cut you off, but you remember we were talking about the cherubim?
Yeah.
There's a cherubim in charge of all this, an evil one, and if you think about it, that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to introduce animal DNA, to humans, and make the human race in his likeness.
He's trying to transmogrify humanity.
Yeah, because
I'm getting to that, guys.
Oh, okay.
I got more coming.
Go ahead.
All right. The Nephilim maintain their power by human blood sacrifices,
yep,
and becoming the first DNA genome carriers of black Jew programmable matter.
Wow.
This was a sediment agent of infection found in the bowels of the abyss and contained within the apple that transmitted Adam and Eve from incorruptible to corruptible.
Wow.
Black goo programmable matter is an intelligent, self-aware, self-organizing liquid crystal. It is now emitting, receiving, and corrupting the RF spectrum within the universal 5G network by design, and the 5G network is feeding it.
Oh, my God. So 5G is feeding black goo.
Exactly.
God help us.
Imagine nanotechnology fastened into a biometric chip,
yep,
uploaded into the beast, also the mark of the beast.
God help us, Frank.
Each individual strand of the mark of the beast is 100,000 times smaller than the human hair and 1,000 times faster than silicon, providing the platform to delivering the lifeblood of a triple helix DNA genomic code.
Black
goo programmable matter transmutes this formable DNA into an immortal triple DNA genomic code. Now, listen to this. God. I found this one just blew. Another tentacle of the transhuman toxic cocktail is chemtrails.
Yeah.
And that's how they release all this.
Yes, it is.
But man is 60% water. Everything learned is transmitted by vibrational frequencies. Postman's talked about that. Water carries the thought process to your heart by oxygenated blood, converting into platforms which is derived and goes to our brain. Humans, we basically think with our heart. The brain functions like a random access memory RAM on a computer, and the brain stores data created by the heart. In contrast to humans, angels have their own distinctive characteristics. Angels are immortal individuals, spiritual beings created for three main purposes: worshiping God, a messenger of God, and serving those images assigned to them. Before the fall, Adam and Eve reflected to the Most High God perfect triple helix, DNA genomic code, wearing their spirits eternally and their bodies internally. The Most High creates within it a framework of three. Here is where it blew me out of the water. When Adam and Eve fell, their systematic triple helix DNA code transmitted from three strands
to two.
Into two.
Yep, that's where we got downgraded.
One whole compromise of three becomes two-thirds of one, or 66.6%.
Oh, my God.
Six.
It makes sense, man. It's perfect. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah. It's the third strand of DNA code that enabled Adam and Eve to telepathically communicate with God.
That's right.
And relocate into the 10 different dimensions of heaven without oracle of time and space.
Wow.
Now,
wow.
Yep.
That's a little bit heavy, but I want to throw one, I know I'm out of time here, but one more thing to throw at you real quick.
Sure.
Just take just a couple minutes.
Okay.
China. Is Chinese one of the original languages, if not the original language, or it can't be the original, but the second or third original, from the Tower of Babel?
Oh, wow.
And Terry, I'm going to send you some things in the next 3 or 4 days, some
Please.
Images.
Okay.
Now, in Chinese writing, in early Chinese writing, if you take the word garden and break it down by letter, I don't know what the letters mean. I have no idea. I can't speak Chinese. But the first letter means dust. The second letter means breath. The third means two. The fourth means enclosure garden. And the last one says person.
Huh.
If you take the word boat in Chinese, and the very early Chinese language, there's three symbols. The first says vessel, the second says eight, the third says people. Okay, this is extremely amazing. I went on and on and on and on about where China's in the Bible. You won't find China in the Bible hardly anywhere.
Yeah,
except if you really dig real deep. And I've dug real deep.
I know
That'll
you
be
have.
For next week. That'll be for next week.
Okay.
But my whole point is on this RNA and coronavirus and how God split, and when they split from three to two.
Yeah.
That blew me away, guys.
That blows me away, right? I mean, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, he had to do that to be able to control.
Yes.
Yeah, that's how they got downgraded.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's what they're trying to replicate. Carry those eyes,
yes,
as you know, because you pull them out of your body. They're here. They're here right now.
I know.
They're with
them. And Frank, I'm scared because I see what's coming out of me, and it ain't good.
Yeah. And I tell you, guys, just for people that haven't, look at these videos because they'll scare the heck out of them.
Yeah.
Looking at them and tell me if you don't see the eyes, because the eyes are so prevalent. They're just there. They're just,
looking at you. Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, I know you guys are running way past my time.
It's
but
okay. It's worth
thanks,
it.
Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it, as always.
Thanks, Frank. All Take right. care, buddy.
All righty.
See you. All right, folks, we're going to hit a couple of breaks, and then we'll be back.
Hi, this is Bo Goodson from the Bo Goodson Real Estate School. We have a new real estate class starting soon, and I'd like to see you there. This class prepares you to take the state real estate exam and get your real estate license. We have even had investors and other home buyers take the course to prepare them to buy a home. Whatever the reason, you will learn about real estate contracts, lease management, property law, closing transaction, appraisal methods to enable you to take the exam. Learning by doing, real estate scenarios, learning to increase your portfolio in real estate, investment sales are all part of this course. The cost is $375, which includes books and materials, practice tests, and quizzes. Interactive, live, classroom setting, located close to East Chase. Come join me. Bo Goodson for the Real Estate School, 551-0225, or email me personally at bogoodson@charter.net. The class is filling up now, so you need to call soon, 551-0225.
Noble here with Dixie Electric Plumbing and Air. Get a complete heating and cooling system for just $69 a month. But hurry, there are limited quantities available. Visit calldixie.com.
Number 15033.
What's your biggest investment? More than likely, it's your home. So treat it that way when you hire a painting contractor. At PBS Painting, there are no gimmicks, no $99 specials. Just quality painting and someone who treats your home with the same respect that you do. At PBS Painting, we have been painting for years and look forward to many more years to come. With PBS Painting, the job gets prepped properly, whether it's cleaning, scraping, or priming. We always use quality products, which is a must for a quality paint job. So if you're looking for a painter that doesn't need upfront money and is on the job at all times, then please give me a call. Scott Bowers and PBS Painting, 294-5122. That's PBS Painting, 294-5122. Look at some of our work on Facebook at PBS Painting Montgomery.
Trust is the firm belief in reliability, truth, and strength. For years, Southern Bell's cleaning service has been earning the trust of families in the River Region. Callan and her crew believe in cleaning the old-fashioned way. Southern Bell's brings all their own supplies, arrives on time, and specializes in full-service residential, commercial, vacant properties, and construction cleanup. Estimates are always free. Call Southern Bell's today at 546-0715 or follow them on Facebook at Southern Bell's Cleaning River Region.
What we do is who we are. That's why the Alabama Department of Labor wants to help you find a job you love, no matter your education or experience. So ask yourself, who do you want to be? Sponsored by the ADOL, ACRI, ABA, and this station.
Hi there. Welcome back to the program. We have about a minute and a half before we hit the big break. Yeah, you know, I can understand what Frank was saying. I've always heard that. I mentioned it on the show before that we were downgraded, our strands of DNA. We went from 3 to 2, and that makes perfect sense, which is why we're stuck in this 3D world, which is why we can't do anything Adam and Eve did, because they had 3 strands of DNA. And the RNA DNA, we talked about that before, too. As a matter of fact, it was Postman, I think, that told me that the reason Satan got kicked out of heaven was because he stole the formula for RNA. Is that right?
Yeah, actually took it, and you know, the and to be able to replicate, you know, you got to have that RNA molecule, and it's based on I think it's phosphorus. Yeah, it's got to have the phosphorus molecule to be able to replicate.
Gotcha.
And that was what he took.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't DNA do the body and RNA do the brain or the software, basically, or am I getting it backwards?
No, I think the RNA just actually helps it the cell.